from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Hold up. Wait a minute. So I always start off the show random. I get it. But I also want to do a better job to bringing you all into my world. And maybe you maybe won't think like I think, but I want you to see what I see. So Ursula's finishing up. And I always ask Ursula this. I ask Ursula the same question every single day. It's, hey, Ursula, are you scrambling? And then she says, oh, yeah, you know. But then she goes to walk in. Ursula, I got to tell you, what you're wearing today is woo-wee. Wow, it looks good.
Spring, thank you.
Good Lord. What's going on with you?
It is a beautiful spring day. I looked outside and I heard Nick Allard's forecast and said, I'm wearing a spring dress.
Yeah, okay. So you
I know a lot of people are. Do you know it's going to be almost 70 degrees tomorrow?
Come on now. So you knew what you were doing this morning. So you knew. You're like, oh, it's going to be nice. You know what? I'm going to wear this. And only my co-hosts will have something to say probably.
Exactly.
What's going on the show today?
The NBA is not playing games when it comes to gambling. A player with local ties, you tell me, is the latest pro athlete to pay the price. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 9:30.
Okay.
Our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. As you know, I always say, yes, I'm scrambling, and I always say also that you are a very important part of our show, and we love it when you weigh in.
Oh, wait till y'all get on that stream and see Ursula today. Here we go. Top stories of the day brought to you by Waste Car 40 Susu in Auburn.
Boeing whistleblowers accuse the company of a criminal cover-up now and say the company is putting out defective airplanes. These shocking claims were made during sworn testimony before a congressional committee yesterday, and Heather Bosch has been covering it, and she joins us live now.
Yeah, Ursula, Boeing has been under intense scrutiny since a door plug blew out of a 737 MAX 9 shortly after takeoff from Portland. The door plug had been removed and reinstalled at the Boeing Renton plant. Federal safety investigators say four bolts that hold the panel in place were missing. Former Boeing engineer Ed Pearson told U.S. senators,
Boeing has said there are no records documenting the removal of the Alaska Airlines door. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This is a criminal cover-up. Records do, in fact, exist. I know this because I've personally passed them to the FBI.
The Alaska Airlines flight was able to safely land after the door plug blew out, but Pearson blames the incident on the same problems that led to two deadly MAX 8 crashes 5 years ago.
The manufacturing conditions that led to the two 737 MAX disasters also led to the Alaskan accident, blowout accident. And these conditions continue.
Pearson was not the only whistleblower to testify. Sam Salapour testified he's a Boeing quality engineer who's worked on the 787 and 777.
They are putting out defective airplanes.
He says he's seen workers forcing parts of the aircraft together in an attempt to close gaps.
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align.
Like Pearson, he testified he was not silent about his concerns.
I want to make clear that I have raised these issues over 3 years. I was ignored. I was told not to create delays. I was told, frankly, to shut up.
In a statement, Boeing touted the safety record of the 787 and 777. The MAX record, again, not so stellar. In 2021, Boeing agreed to pay billions to settle criminal charges that it defrauded the government to earn original certification of the MAX. The New York Times reports that deal could be in jeopardy because of the door plug, Jean Ursula.
Okay, so Heather, first of all, these two people, one who describes himself as a quality engineer, and then another one, Ed Pearson, was...
He's a former engineer.
Yes. As well. Did they give any additional proof? I mean, was there any question in terms of their credibility in their claims?
Congress felt that they had vetted them properly to have them on board. There have been other whistleblowers, too. I think this was kind of a fact-finding mission for members of Congress. Certainly some of this stuff, if you talk to the rank and file, they say this is no secret. They've been complaining about quality control issues for some time now at Boeing.
Isn't the FAA supposed to step in and be the conduit to all of this stuff? Isn't FAA the ones that's supposed to know a lot of things? This just kind of feels strange to me.
You know, and after the MAX crashes, the FAA really took it on the chin. Congress said, you're supposed to be keeping an eye on them. And they have been. Our own U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell said, look, you know, the FAA is not going to be scot-free on this. And Pearson said that he blames federal regulators, not just the FAA, but the NTSB. He says, you are doing a lax job. Get in there, do something. Now, more recently, we know the FAA gave Boeing 90 days to come up with a plan on how it will, you know, very specific on how it's going to improve quality control.
Now, when Ed Pearson says it is a criminal cover-up, he was saying specifically that he gave the documentation that showed who did the work, because I know that there is... Initially, it was there's no documentation. Now it's there's documentation, but it doesn't say specifically who left the bolts off.
Right. He claims that he has the documentation. There have been other whistleblowers quoted as saying something very similar, that there is paperwork on this. The bolts, we kind of have to look at, be a little bit in. Investigative, which is what the NTSB said. The bolts are off. We do know that Boeing workers in the Renton plant have said they had to remove the door plug in order to repair some rivets. So we know by that statement they had removed the door plug. They put it back. NTSB says the bolts are missing. From that, we can infer that perhaps they were not put back on. The paperwork, we hope, will give us more details on exactly who did that and what happened to those bolts.
So what happens next? So they had this congressional hearing. Is CEO Dave Calhoun going to be dragged in to testify as well?
He wasn't there, and that's unclear if he will testify, because originally, I believe, we were told that he would make an appearance. We do know he has talked to members of Congress prior to this, so it's unclear exactly what happens next. And I reached out to members of Congress saying, so what are you going to do with this info? Is this just sort of a public shaming of Boeing? And they're saying, no, you know, we're cracking down on the FAA, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I want specifics on exactly, so we're, other than the report Boeing's supposed to come up with, what good does this do?
Yeah, Senator Richard Blumenthal said that he wants more follow-up hearings. He wants testimony from the FAA. He wants Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun to speak. He also wants the Department of Justice to reopen their deferred prosecution agreement that settled that case against Boeing and those two deadly crashes.
Yes, and we know, April, following up on that, April 24th, the Department of Justice is set to meet with family members of people who died in those MAX crashes. And that meeting is specifically, and it was scheduled before all of this happened, before the whole door plug thing, scheduled to say, is Boeing, in your mind, making good on its promise to the Department of Justice? And then the door plug happened. So a whole lot of action. Stay tuned. April 24th could tell us more about whether Justice pursues those criminal charges.
Thank you, Heather.
Anytime.
A Seattle high school teacher is now on leave while the district investigates comments that he made about whether the October Hamas attack on Israel was justified. Earlier this month, the conservative advocacy group Accuracy in Media confronted Ian Golosh outside the school where he teaches, which is Chief South High School. And in this video clip, you also hear from students in his class.
Have you had him as a teacher?
I actually am a part of his class right now. He's taking us out as an example of free speech.
So he's taking you out of the class to us right now?
Yeah, he's right down there.
AIM President Adam Gillette starts asking the teacher questions, and here's just part of that exchange.
Was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified?
Yes.
The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Was that justified?
Yes.
The murder of innocent women just attending a music festival, that was justified in your opinion?
No. I think resistance against Israel is justified, yes.
Okay, and again, that's just part of the clip. They had put the music underneath it. The Seattle Times reports that Golosh was already getting blasted. So this, the teacher was already getting blasted for some Facebook posts that questioned accounts of that October 7th attack. He has since changed his response, telling the Times in a text message that any atrocities that happened on that day, including rape, mutilations, or killings committed by Hamas fighters or Gazans or Israeli citizens or Israeli defense forces are deplorable and worthy of condemnation. But Seattle Public Schools says the circumstances surrounding that conversation that day between Accuracy and Media and that teacher are deeply concerning. And in a statement, the district says it does not tolerate anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, or any kind of hate speech in schools or offices.
When people show you who they are, believe them. This is who he is. I don't want to hear anything. I misspoke. I want to hear anything about I changed my position. I cannot believe, as a matter of fact, you guys told me that it was a video. I thought, I'm going to watch this video, and there's no way that it happened the way you guys said it happened.
Yeah,
you know how somebody tells you something like, hey, this happened, and in the back of your mind, you're like,
it can't be that bad.
It can't be that bad. No, let me see.
It's out of context.
It's out of context.
Yeah.
Let me see it.
No.
I just want you all to know that once I saw it, it was, hear me out, it is the grossest thing that I've ever heard come from a teacher myself. Right? Like, if we all think about our teachers from back in the day, I know, unfortunately, teachers get people say bad things about teachers. I don't know why that this became this anti-teacher world, but that's another topic in itself. This teacher right here needs to never teach again. Never. Okay. Not here in this state, not here in another state. You can go to some other profession, but being a teacher, you have lost that right to be a teacher.
And then why are you bringing your kids out to witness this? And apparently there are other things, and because they're not confirmed, I'm not going to bring them up, but there are other things that students were saying about this particular teacher. But on this video, you can hear this same person with Accuracy and Media questioning him about his past record. The teacher has a record of assault and criminal harassment. And apparently he has some very strong anti-cop feelings. And the guy questioning said, did you say all cops are bastards before or after your arrests? And the teacher says, since day one. And he says, is every cop a B word? And he says, yep. I'm sorry, but you have freedom of speech, but sometimes your freedom of speech will have very serious consequences, and you are a teacher. Is this the type of person that you want teaching your kids?
Right. And I have, and by the way, shout out, massive love. I used to live close to Chief Self High School. Great people there. I've done events for Chief Self High School. This teacher does not represent the incredible people that work there at Chief Self. And he is such an embarrassment and a bad example of not just to Chief Self High School, but to teachers in general. Hold on. Let me correct myself. He's an embarrassment to adults. That I want to clear that up. I don't care what profession you're doing. That is just sickening, and it's sad. And you would have thought, Ursula, like when even the reporter that was there asking the question, and like Chef said, they got the billboard, they got the truck with the billboard with his text. So you would think that the teacher would not say anything. So when the reporter is asking the kid, like, hey, you know, do you know this teacher? The kid's like, yeah. Like, that's why we're out here. And the reporters, you could tell the reporter's like, wait a minute. And then he's like, well, where's the teacher?
Yeah. And I don't want to call him a reporter because it says Accuracy in Media. This is a group whose sole purpose, I believe, they say, is to fight.
What do I call him? What do I call him?
He's the president of this group.
Oh. So you can't call, I can't call him a reporter?
Well, no, because I don't think everyone is a reporter just because they're,
have a camera and a microphone.
A camera and a microphone.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not a reporter. He's not a journalist. Okay. That said, he's the president of this group that has a specific agenda, and they did exactly what they wanted, which is to find anti-Semitism, and that's what they found here in this case. I think the teacher just overstepped bounds by far. Seattle police have now released a video of the high-speed chase that began after an armed carjacking at an ATM that led police through city streets and then onto I-90 before ending in Mercer Island.
Got a man running. We're running through this church here. You're gonna get shot! Get off the ground! Get off the ground!
Get on the ground right now!
Get on the ground.
So, G, on this dash cam, you can see the suspects weaving through congested streets at high speeds, nearly crashing into other vehicles. Thankfully, no one was injured, and both suspects, a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old, were arrested. So, first of all, great job to SPD for that successful chase. But it had us thinking out loud that it seems there have been a lot of police chases lately. We've certainly been reporting on them in the last couple of weeks. And just a reminder that in the last legislative session, lawmakers passed Initiative 2113 that allows police to engage in pursuits when there is reasonable suspicion that a person has violated the law. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts have never changed when it comes to police pursuits. I've never thought to myself, oh, these police do a bad job when it comes to pursuits. I think that most police officers want to go home. One. Two, most police officers don't want to hurt other pedestrians and mess up. So I think that they have always, in my opinion, used their best judgments. Now, have there been accidents? Absolutely. Have I recently been seeing more police pursuits? Yes, I have. I don't know if that's the reason because of any kind of law change. I just know for myself, Ursula, I have seen two recently, two myself, where I'm like, oh, man, I haven't seen those in a while.
Well, Chef actually put together a list, and just in this month, I mean, there was one where SPD officers located a stolen SUV at Eastlake. The thief fled in that vehicle down an alley with police in pursuit. The suspect crashed the SUV, missing a family by inches. Thankfully, again, no one injured. April 3rd, a man who rammed two police cars in a stolen vehicle led officers on a 100-mile-per-hour chase through Bellevue, Issaquah, and Snoqualmie. On April 3rd, five kids who attempted an armed carjacking in Renton were pursued by Renton PD. They crashed into another vehicle on East Valley Highway and were caught. On April 6th, Lacey PD officers pursued a shooting suspect onto I-5 going the wrong way. I mean, you're talking about carjackers and shooting suspects and people. How about the guy who allegedly drove over several tents thinking that there potentially were homeless people inside? Luckily, they were empty. There was a chase there. Snohomish County Sheriff's deputies. It was a kidnapping suspect. I mean, it seems like there was all good reason, but I guess I want to hear from all of you. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476 888-973 Cairo. Is that of any concern to you? Because that was one of the concerns about police pursuits.
Are you concerned?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are you?
No. I wasn't really concerned in the first place, but I mean, I do know that the numbers were up where pedestrians and or people were, you know, collectively, not just here, but around the country. So yeah, it was kind of a problem, you know, sometimes with some of these chases are for little small reasons. Yeah. But am I concerned? No. Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, the NBA was not playing when they made a decision for one of their NBA players. That NBA player actually has a local tie because he used to play basketball and actually won a state championship here in this town. We'll explain that next generation.
The G and Ursula Show. This is what I call a Chamber of Commerce picture perfect day in the Pacific Northwest. It is absolutely gorgeous. I hope you are going to enjoy the sunshine today. And you heard it in Heather's newscast. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has now banned Toronto Raptors backup Jonte Porter from the NBA for life. And this dramatic move comes after an investigation found that he illegally bet on games and gave confidential insider information to other bettors. And we get more from CBS's Jerika Duncan.
Commissioner Silver supports a regulated betting market.
And I think at least in a legalized structure, there's transparency.
You had to be concerned that the access that betting has now to basketball would lead to something like this.
Joe Varden is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. He says the NBA betting deals are here to stay, but that the league needs to be more vigilant.
So he is actually the second player to be banned by the NBA commissioner for violating rules. Former LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling was ousted. Ousted in 2014.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling is technically the reason why I'm in radio today. That was the first.
Is that right?
That was the first topic that I ever gave my opinion on in 2014. Yeah. So it's
interesting. Your opinion changed?
Heck no. No, not at all. Look, my opinion does change on things, but not at all. But this time, hey, here's a situation where Jonte Porter, who is the brother of Michael Porter Jr., placed at least 13 bets on NBA games, right? These bets, basically, one of the bets were, because sometimes, Ursula, and there's prop bets, right? It's not just losing. Sometimes there's bets like, Jonte Porter is going to play in this game, example, right? Jonte Porter is going to score over or under 10 points. So, with the prop bet, you can bet if you think Jonte Porter is going to score 10 points or more. So you might say, I'm going to take the over. Or somebody else might say, I'll take the under. Well, what Jonte Porter was doing was like, I'm going to take the under, because technically Jonte Porter kind of knows what's happening and what he can do. So he's betting on himself taking the under because he knows he's going to get the under. You can't have that. I love that the NBA made a quick, swift, because these reports just came out just like within the last 2 weeks. So from 2 weeks ago until right now, the NBA says, lifetime ban. What does this lifetime ban mean? It is so much a big deal. One, like you said, the owner of the Clippers was the first lifetime ban. This is the second. I just told you a second ago that his brother, Michael Porter Jr., still plays in the NBA. That means he can never go see his brother, Michael Porter Jr., play in the NBA. Now, Ursula, we always want local ties, right? Let's give a local tie. Jonte Porter, along with his brother, Michael Porter Jr., won a state championship at a school, Nathan Hale. That's right here.
That's my neighborhood.
That's your neighborhood, yeah. Right? So you probably say to yourself, how come I never seen those kids walk around my neighborhood? How come they never grew up around my neighborhood? I want to give you guys an interesting fact. Remember you guys said that only private schools recruit, right? Mm-hmm. You remember you said only private schools recruit. Is Nathan Hale a private school? Nathan Hale's a public school. Mm-hmm. They went to school there for 1 year. Where'd they go?
Where did they go?
They left. Came here, got it done, yeah. And left, yeah. Right? So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up on that part of it.
That's a great point.
The gambling part of sports, if there's anybody who has this point that, well, the NBA and the NFL are partnered with this gambling stuff, and they make and give reports based on that. So for an example, during football season, during the week, you get practice reports. Chef didn't practice. Nick practiced, but he was limited. He game time decisions. The reason why those reports are made available is for gamblers. It's for bettors to make bets. Like, if you really think about it, why does it matter to us, the people, about practice reports if you don't gamble, mm-hmm. or if you don't play fantasy football? Fantasy football, all the connections with the money. Now, the NFL is also a power ratings juggernaut because of all of the fantasy football and the gambling that's associated with
it. Right. So it is very hypocritical that they promote gambling, but yet within the organization, I mean, there's strict rules against it for anyone involved. And I get all that, but are they making enough of a point or educating players enough? Because it amazes me that people can still get caught up in it knowing that you face potential lifetime ban or major fines, or you will just, you know, look at Pete Rose.
I will say this. I know this for a fact. Yes.
They do.
They do educate you.
Okay.
You
so there's no way that you would be confused.
You know
confused.
Better. How about this? Hey, Ursula, I'm not even a player. Okay. I'm not a player. I don't play. Never been on a team or nothing. Now ask me how many bets I've made. Zero. Because I know better. I'm not making any bets. I don't even want it to remotely look close. Like, hey, you see G. Scott going in and making some bets on football? No, no, no. I'm not doing none of that.
Gee, I mean, I understand why they would do this, but aside from the hypocrisy, you know, of promoting gambling to the tune of like $750 million in ad revenue from these companies, the case for banning him for life is that he had an impact on games, right? And that forever changed the season of his team, of other teams. If they're going to ban him for this, why do they not ban the coaches and the general managers who will intentionally tank a season in order to get higher draft picks? Like, I will point to the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, Sam Hinkie. He famously had, quote, the process on how to make his team lose, right? Guaranteed. He affected the impact of tournament standings, of other teams' records, who won games that they may not have won otherwise, by intentionally not playing the best players and not doing their best. Like, how is that any different?
We see tanking happen a lot. Gambling?
I'm gonna answer that. It's very, very easy to answer that. Okay. So for an example, let's just say that our team is getting ready to play the last game of the season. If our team wins that game, they will not get the number one pick. If they lose that game, they will get the number one pick.
Yep.
People that gamble, I don't want to use, I don't want to do gender specific, but it's like a gentleman's it's an understanding. Like, oh, if the Seahawks lose this game, they're going to get the number one pick. So you kind of know. People know, you know that going in what type of game that's going to be. What you don't know.
So you can toss a game, but it's cool because people expect you to do it.
I'm just telling you the understanding behind it. And so, no, it is not looked at the same as Jonte Porter, who is.
Because he made money.
Not only did he make money.
Opposed to a GM who would stand to make a ton of money off a number one draft pick in a successful team.
The GM doesn't make a ton of money off of having a successful draft pick, so that doesn't count either.
Doesn't help their career?
Let me say that again. No, because the draft pick doesn't do well. No, the only thing that matters with a GM is wins and losses. Nobody judges a GM based off their pick. The Cleveland Browns had the number one pick constantly. How'd that work out for them? The Detroit Lions had the number one pick constantly.
Kind of an impact of number one picks in the NBA made recently.
The one previous to 2022 was not that good. Chef, let me just explain to you. GMs don't get judged by the pick. They get judged by what they do. All right. Coming up next, bikini baristas. Do you go to them? Does your husband go to them? Does your wife go to them? Well, we're going to have a real discussion on that. And let's see. I don't know, but maybe Ursula and I might agree to disagree on the topic of bikini baristas. Next, Jen Ursula. The show. Good morning, everybody. Ooh-wee, if you're in the Seattle area, I ain't one to brag, and you ain't heard it from me, but it's beautiful outside. Absolutely. All right.
It is.
This topic right here, ooh-wee, I hope the... Can y'all just not have the kids in the car? Because, I don't know, I just feel comfortable if you don't, because I want to talk about this topic.
You're going to let loose.
I want to talk about this topic freely.
Okay.
All right. The Everett City Council made a unanimous decision yesterday to allow individual coffee shops to dictate what the baristas that work there wear, which means that bikini barista stands can still have bikini-clad baristas. Whew. All right, so I want to have a real discussion, not a PC discussion, not what you think of, oh, I just want to do fairness. I want to have a, how do you really feel about these bikini baristas serving the coffee? 888-973-5476. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, I'll let you go first because I think that everybody that listens to the show thinks that you're the most reasonable. What do you got?
First of all, if the women are working there freely and enjoying the work that they do and are feeling like they are safe, that's the first and most important thing to me.
Yeah.
That all said.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to a bikini barista stand because I'm going to guess, now that I've just newly discovered coffee, I'm going to guess that the coffee may not be as good. And I have no reason to ogle. I have no reason. It's not going to be a big draw for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to pay the extra to have the extra cleavage or, you know, whatever it is mm-hmm. that you go there to look for. That said, and I've said it before, if it bothers you, don't go.
Okay. I'm glad you set this precedent right there. I agree with that. If it bothers you, don't go. Or now, I don't go to them. You don't go to them. We don't go to them. If it bothers you, don't go. I'm on that thing. Now this is the time. I do a radio talk show, so everybody, you want to hear my opinion anyways.
I do.
I think you're strange if you go to bikini barista stands. I think that's weird. A lot of times you go to these bikini stands and probably your daughter is probably the same age. You have some of those situations. And so somebody might be listening to me. And they might say, well, gee, what do you know about this kind of stuff? Oh, well, I'm glad you bring that up. Yes, I actually knew someone personally that used to work at one of these things.
You knew someone very well.
Very well. No
okay,
doubt
so
about it.
Okay, so what did your ex-wife say about you shared it this morning. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. So what did your ex-wife say about who would come through?
That the vast majority are that she would say was like, it's kind of strange. One.
Lonely men.
I guess that would be the definition of it.
Police officers undercover.
Two, you don't come there for the coffee. You're coming there for the delivery of the coffee. That's what you're coming there for. Let's keep it real. And then sometimes you have this excuse. You hear this. Well, I like the coffee better. No, you don't. It's convenient. It's on my way to work. A lot of times there's other coffee places to go. But for some reason, if you look on that credit card statement, why is it, Charlie, that...
Hot.
Why is it a different LLC, right? But why is it that coffee, every time you go, is $15, is $20? And that's usually what you do.
You have to give big tips, right?
You got to give the big tips. And the more tips, the more conversations and all those things. So
did she feel safe when she was working there? Yeah, exactly. Because in some cases... They were. Now, I'm not saying in the case of your ex-wife, but one of the issues is it a front for prostitution? I mean, that was in some cases. So again, I'm assuming under the assumption that it's not that.
So you asked
I'm
me specifically.
Okay with it. Yes.
You're not asking.
Yes.
I'm not answering for anyone else.
Yes.
You're asking me personally.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard of that too. For sure. No question about it. Let me explain. So all of a sudden, right, you have three. So it's myself, you, Ursula, and Chef, and Nick. Let's say four of us. Four of us work at this coffee stand, right? We all come to work, and we wear the same thing every single day. We pour the same coffee, all those things. And we all drive the same car, right? And by the way, this example that I'm giving, it could or could not be true. But it's an example, right?
Okay.
All of a sudden... After 6 months, Nick starts, he shows up in a brand new car, Mercedes. So you look at yourself,
how's he affording
how's
that?
How's he affording that and we are affording this? So Ursula, being the nosy one that you are,
yes.
You ask Nick, hey Nick.
What's your side hustle?
What are you doing? And Nick says, well, Ursula, I do a little bit of this. Sprinkle a little bit of that in the coffee. Wink.
Okay, yeah.
But again,
in that case, I'm changing my opinion.
So I just want to be very crystal clear, just in case somebody gets offended.
If anyone's being trafficked, that's a no-go.
Now, Ursula, hold on. I'm not touching traffic now. I don't know any stories about traffic. Okay. We're talking about something else. You can't just throw traffic in
talking
there.
Talking about prostitution.
Right.
You're talking about sex work that is...
I'm saying, if I am not saying what goes on at any other stands... I'm telling you personally what I have known of.
Okay.
So nobody can dispute that. Now, other stands, maybe you do have great coffee. Maybe the way you whip the foam at the top is really good. Maybe so. But if you don't want to go to those places, don't go.
People go to Joey's for the food, right?
Actually, I go to Joey's.
No, stop it.
Joey's is excellent.
Chef, come for food. Again,
not
there
even
you go.
Close.
No, Joey, this is not even close. Joey's food is absolutely excellent.
Yes. my girl's night is at Joey's like every quarter.
You go all the time. No, yeah. Joey's is great. And I'll say it again. If you go to bikini barista stands, I'm judging you. I think you're weird. Flat out. Okay. And especially if you're telling Lois, oh, I just go there for the coffee. You're lying, Harold. You're lying.
Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888. We especially want to hear from you if you do frequent barista stands where people are scantily clad. Tell us why. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
Bet you paying in cash. Then we'll see that credit card statement. Coming up next, we'll do a TNG nurse.